today. I'm so delighted to have you come to worship. We have special music today from a very fine young man and his accompanist and singer. And we also have lots of fun this morning with blessing of the animals. We have a special children's time associated with that. Just a great Sunday. Great Sunday to be in worship together. Yes? We have anybody who's here for the very first time. We have a gift for you. We have some popcorn to thank you for popping in. Welcome. Glad you're here with us today. I can throw it up that far. I'm going to... Hey, he bada 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 swing. Yay! Well, it was far enough. Off the backstop and the runners advance, just like the Rockies. Anyway, we're glad that you're here for worship, and we're delighted to welcome you in this place. And now we have our morning announcements.
Good morning. There's a few announcements in the life of our church that I would like to bring to your attention, and you can find additional ones in your bulletin. Next Friday, August 17th at 7 p.m. is the African Children's Choir Concert, which is held here at Mountain View. You will see joy-filled dancing and singing, along with stories of hope and a future. Please plan to attend. There will be a blessing of the backpacks next Sunday, August 19th at the 10:30 service. We will be asking God's blessings and will be encouraging teachers, students, and all learners with our support. Please bring your book bag, backpack, valise, briefcase, iPad, or attaché to the church so that you can be blessed and encouraged for the new school year. Right now, we have some vacancies for AV volunteers. It's a very important role in our church, and those who are interested will receive training, so please consider that. And in addition, we need some... Sunday morning treats for the coffee bar, and you can assist bringing cookies or snacks. Please see the bulletin for more contact information. And now please greet each other with a handshake or an embrace and tell one another about a great personal hope for the future.
As usual, our congregational introit, I will sing You Respond. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. We come here today to worship the Lord, give thanks for the lives we live. We sing your praises, God Most High, and bring honor to your name. Rejoice. Creator God, you made our world and gave us the breath of life. We are your people, holy Lord. We serve you forevermore. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
Pray together. Holy God, bless your people on this beautiful summer Sunday. Help us to feel your presence, to share your love, to practice our spirituality, to rally around Christ and this congregation. Give us your vision for the days ahead. Through Jesus' name, amen. Please rise for our hymn. And if all the children of the congregation would come forward for our special time. Come on forward, kids. Please. Come on, you big kids. Who wants to see my puppy? Oh, there you go. She does. Who wants to see the puppy? All right. Wonderful. Would you like to hold it? This is Gretzel. This is our 9-week-old dachshund mix. She's of mixed parentage there. Yes, she's an international dog. Part beagle, part dachshund. Now, what kind of things do you do to take care of a puppy? What kind of things do you do to take care of a puppy?
Play with it, feed it.
Played with it, feed it. Okay, what else do you do?
Take it on walks.
Take it on walks, yes?
Let it outside.
You let it outside. Why?
Potty. So it can go potty.
So it can go potty. You don't want it to go potty in the house. And a puppy you have to train because it doesn't know to use the bathroom. It hasn't learned how to flush. Right? Well, some of these things we do because you have to, right? I mean, just to keep order in the house, to feed the dog at the right time. Why do you feed it? So that it stays alive, right? It gets hungry, right? Some of the things you do for fun, like walk it, right, and play with it. Some of you kids had a chance to play with Gretzel earlier. Good. Do you want to take turns? It can be hard to take turns even, huh? Snuggle bunny. Yeah, she's yours now. I'm not getting the dog back. Who knew? All right. So we're talking about practices today. In fact, this whole year we're talking about spiritual practices. A spiritual practice is anything we do that helps us feel close to God. What is a spiritual practice? Anything that we do that helps us feel close to God. Does a puppy make us feel close to God? Sometimes, yeah. Well, you do some of these things because you have to. These things to take care of a pet, to take care of a dog. But you do some of these things for joy. Whatever we do for joy is a spiritual practice, okay? So what gives your heart joy? Name one or two things. What gives your heart joy?
Animals.
Animals, okay. What else? When I was a boy, your all's age, I lived in Pittsburgh, and we liked to catch lightning bugs. Yes, catching lightning is not the best thing. Lightning bugs, we like to catch lightning bugs. We'd run around and we'd play freeze tag. That gave our hearts joy. So if you can remember, joy and spiritual practices go together. All right? Can we pray? Would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for our four-legged friends. Thank you for our families. Help us to feel joy as spiritual practice. Amen. Thank you, kids. Thanks for coming up.
Continue to worship as best as we can, even without you, Pretzel. She's going home now, but... But we will continue to worship together by sharing those things that we have experienced as joy, sharing those things that give us comfort, sharing those things that have weighed on our hearts, that we call out for tenderness and God's mercy. So what are the things that you would share with your community today? Prayers. Yes.
I would ask for prayers for my sister Denise, who broke her kneecap.
So Denise, Beverly's sister, broke her kneecap. So keep her in her prayers. That is a tenuous spot. Yeah, thank you. Other prayers that you would lift up today? There are some that are listed in your bulletin. I would lift. We will do the blessing of the backpacks next week, but kids actually start this week, as do teachers and parents. And so I just would invite you to hold all of our kids, all of the students and the teachers and administrators and parents in your heart. My best friend will send both of her kids off to school for the first time. And she's a stay-at-home mom, and so this is a new realm for her. And I know some of us have lived that or know people who are living that. So in all the ways that we intersect school, shout out a prayer for that. Any others that you would lift up? There are some that are listed in the bulletin that I would draw your attention to. I also give a great thanks that the African Children's Choir is coming to town on Friday. You don't want to miss the concert, but also these kids are pretty incredible. I had the great privilege of touring with them for 2 years, and they will change you even in 20 minutes. I had 2 years, but in 20 minutes they will change you, and allow you to see God in joy manifest, embodied. So I highly encourage you to come to the concert. Well, let us go to God in prayers, lifting up all of the prayers that we have that are both spoken and unspoken. It is to you, O God, that we come, recognizing that your presence among us through the Holy Spirit is very tangible. And today we are ever aware of your presence that is embodied, that is fully embodied in our fellow creatures, those with four legs, those that swim, those that crawl around. We thank you for the ways in which your love is embodied through them, even as you allowed your Son to be the embodiment of your love, your mercy, and your grace on earth. We ask that as we connect with one another, both our pets, the living creatures, and our neighbors that sit next to us even now, that we might be mindful of the way in which you are present in their lives, in which the air that we breathe might be filled with your spirit. And in so recognizing that, we also recognize the way in which our purpose is fulfilled. The purpose of living your love, embodying your spirit, manifesting truth and mercy and goodness, all that is pure and right to each other and to this world. We lift up those who are in this place, those that are on our hearts, those around our nation dealing with fires or gun violence or extreme heat, and those around our world in perilous situations. We ask that your comfort, your healing, and your intersection of justice be among all of us. Thank you again, O God, for incarnation, for the way in which we know you in a very tangible way, and the way in which you did so by giving us your Son and teaching us to pray together as we do now, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite you to stand as you're able to sing our centering hymn, Seek Ye First. We'll do the first verse, the second verse, and then back to the first verse. And if you like to sing descant really high, that would be your time to do it. Let's stand and sing. Lovely. As you may be seated, and as the ushers come forward, know that the song that you sang, that descant, that high part, that low part, wherever you are, is a gift. So however you can give from yourself, from your resources, from your time and energy, it is a gift that God will use to create beauty and love. Thank you.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation printed in your bulletin. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Today's scripture is from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, found in page 876 in your pew Bible. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it in the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to them, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for this is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
You know Wade for many years. Wade, how long have you been attending our congregation?
Probably since I was 5 or 6, so about 10, 11, 12 years.
10, 11, or 12 years. And now you're going to go to school where?
University of Rochester, the Eastman School of Music.
The Eastman School of Music. And we're proud to have you be a part of us. God bless you. Will you come back and play with us some other time? Great, thank you. We pray for all of our students going away to school and those who are sticking close to home. Prayers of love and support to them.
Thank you, Wade. Thank you, Meg. She may have left already, but our violinist, and Jerry for accompanying us. Beautiful. Well, I don't know about you, but as I turned the calendar this year for August, something hit me like, whoa, it's here. Holy buckets, we're in the fall. Did anyone experience that with, there are a couple of us, I think, that did. It was sort of like a shift in focus. And I always start feeling that when I go into the store and the school supplies have crept their way to the front of the door. It's like you've got to buy bananas and pencils at the same time, right? But it is kind of fun to see how this shift happens. Our calendars start filling up with activities that have been on break for the summer, and there is a sense of new and renewed energy that comes from having lazy days of summer and vacations to take and all of the good things like long summer nights to enjoy. For our family, Mac will be going back to CU to play with the students of the music school, and Lydia will jump back into daycare. And for all of these things, there is a deep sigh of relief at our house. It's a happy anticipation as we experience these things as routines. As we experience them as a set of new routines that we're living into, a practice, a daily way of life that we'll be able to live into. And it feels good. Now, I know some of you don't have a life that revolves around the school schedule anymore, but perhaps you have other schedules that kind of help orient your days, like the peak travel season or the off-peak travel season. That could be one way of orienting your schedule. Perhaps it's the ski schedule and the snow schedule that really helps guide your routines. But I think regardless of which schedule is yours to keep, there's something within us as humans that crave that routine. We need that equilibrium and stasis that comes with a schedule, with habits. And all of us, regardless of what calendar we're using, have habits that we live out on a daily and weekly basis. What are some of the habits that you have? Who brushes their teeth? Okay, good. All right, we're on a roll now. What other habits do you have? Yeah. You walk the dogs every morning. Yeah. Other habits. Yeah. You read the newspaper. Great. How many of you unfold your socks so they're right side out before going into the laundry? That would be a good habit to cultivate if you don't have it. We drink coffee in the morning, right? Some of us say grace before meals, or we go for a walk after dinner. Some of us read books in bed, or some of you visit grandchildren at a particular time in the year, or you look back on your year. How many of you set goals or reevaluate where you've been and where you want to head? Those are all habits, routines that we keep. And our habits shape us. They get us into a particular attitude and energy to focus as we go for the moment before us, whether it's at home or outside in the world. Sometimes these habits become second nature. That's where we get the phrase stuck in a rut, right? They become so second nature that we sometimes can get stuck and forget why we do them. And then sometimes habits turn sour and they become bad habits or addictions. But all the while, habits and routines form us. So while I was considering the word habit or routine, the word ritual came to my mind. So I'm curious, what rituals do you have? How would you distinguish between a habit and a ritual? I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, I had a ritual in the shower. I would shampoo and rinse, condition, wash my body, rinse. All of the soaps had to be in the right order, and I had to do it in the right order. If not, I would start over again. I was a bit superstitious during track season. All of a sudden, this practice of cleaning myself had taken on a little bit more power, so it became a ritual. So what are the rituals that you live? Yeah, Nancy. Take the boys' picture on the first day of school. Yeah, yeah, Jim.
Do the crossword puzzle before I can do anything else.
Crossword puzzle before anything else. Okay. Yeah. Some of us have the ritual of putting flowers at a gravesite on an anniversary of the death or a birthday. We also practice a ritual of communion on once a month, right? That's not just a snack that we give out only once a month at church. It is a ritual because all of a sudden we're taking a piece of bread and some juice that we would normally have at a picnic or a dinner and giving it meaning, allowing God's grace to be received through the receiving of these elements, these common things. So this helps us distinguish a habit as an action that has its purpose unto itself. We brush our teeth so our teeth are clean. There's not much more to it. It's good enough, right? But a ritual is an action that holds purpose outside of the action itself. That communion bread holds more than just a nourishment or a snack for a moment, but instead shows us purpose and has a way of transforming a moment. Habits form us, as do rituals. Rituals, however, have the possibility of transforming us into something else for the purpose of something else. This is why we hold them with such gravity and mindfulness. Well, I think that our brainstorming around habits and our rituals is really important. Because as we become aware of what we say, what we do, how we choose to intersect the world, we start asking the deeper questions of how and why. Why do I do the crossword puzzle every morning? How is it that I am connecting with my family on vacations or not? One question that always comes to my mind is around the Lord's Prayer. When we say the Lord's Prayer, does it still hold the power of ritual, giving us the means by which God is transforming us? Or do we say it in a way that it's a habit, that we're stuck? These are the provocative questions that give us meaning. And they're the spiritual articulation of the mysterious relationship and movement that we dance with ourselves, with each other, with the natural world, and with God. I believe that we are drawn to this dance, to this understanding of how it is to live fully, to be in the right spot, that flow, the sweet spot, that just right place where our true selves meet with God, where we are full of integrity and we intersect the holy. Ponder that for a moment. What does that look like for you to be in that sweet spot where you're intersecting the holy? What does it look like or feel like? This is a reflection that you could even take as a spiritual practice for yourself. But to know that that is what we're called to live into those moments where we intersect God and are so aware of that presence. This year, we're diving into the rich, transforming, provoking, and intentional living of our faith and being the church through spiritual practices. Last week, Pastor Steve introduced the image of a water wheel as our way to illustrate God's role and presence in our life, our intersection of daily faith and living, and the product of ministry and witnessing to God's love to all the world. The metaphor of God as living water is easy to see, and it's especially prominent in this image of the water wheel. Here we have God flowing as living water, intersecting the water wheel and having such abundance of grace and presence that God's grace can even touch and nourish the ecosystem outside of the water wheel, giving life to plants and fish and birds. So here we have the living water as God flowing. And it connects at the water wheel with individuals and the church, which we are characterized in the wheel. And within that wheel are buckets or troughs that hold the water, that hold God's grace. And in our imagining of this water wheel as a metaphor, we see that those buckets represent spiritual practices. These are the vessels by which God's wisdom and healing and grace meets us and transforms us so that we are nurtured by God through practices. And when we as individuals or we as a church hold God's grace in those spiritual practices, in those buckets, we are then able to embody and generate whole living. We can go with active love into the world. We have the capacity to share the good news of Jesus through our words, our actions, our thoughts, our service, and our stories. And so, with this image in mind, today I want to zoom in on those buckets, on the spiritual practices as a mode of knowing and growing with God, ourselves, and others. Our scripture today reveals Jesus utilizing a common practice of washing feet. And he did this in a way that expressed deeper truths than just the truth at hand, that everyone had dirty and stinky feet, right? And by transforming that simple everyday practice, he actually transformed the disciples. Let's give some context to this chapter from John. In the Gospel of John, the disciples come together in the upper room for that last meal together. And for about 7 chapters, we see how they're connecting. Jesus is telling them stories. They're eating together and they're learning. And right before this 13th chapter, we hear the disciples bickering. See, they had been invited to a dinner party, but there were no place card holders. And so they wanted to know where they sat. And they wanted to know who got the honored spot. Oh, no, it's me. I should sit by Jesus. I'm the most loyal. I give the best service. I am the most faithful to our God. They're bickering back and forth, who gets that special spot? And Jesus pulls himself out, wraps a towel around his waist, kneels down with a basin of water, and begins to wash their feet. All of a sudden, this bickering stops because Jesus is not only cleansing their feet, but he's cleansing their heart of selfish ambition and teaching love. Both humility as he served them in this culturally low position and the mirroring he does transforms them. He holds up a mirror to the disciples to say, hey guys, look, you're still human. You're still limited. You still have dirty feet. But I want you to see also that you are a child of God and that thus all of you are worthy. He changed the question and focus that was bound up in pride that they were so zeroed in on, and refocused their energy and their guiding motivation toward God. Richard Foster wrote an infamous book on spiritual practices called The Celebration of Discipline. Anyone familiar with that book have read it? It's rich with nuance. And Richard Foster talks about spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices this way. They are the open door, a gift from God to be graciously received, a means of receiving God's grace, a means by which we place ourselves where he can bless us. Spiritual practices provide a total transformation of the person and change destructive habits into life-giving habits. The life-giving habits and the attitudes were what Jesus was hoping for. He was hoping that the act of washing his disciples' feet and that of his entire ministry would transform a person's habits and attitudes. I heard a recent interview with Senator Cory Booker, where he said that he believes making the bed is a spiritual practice. Anyone make the bed out there? All right, you are holy, right? Senator Booker said that for him, making the bed in the morning was a spiritual practice because it reframed his day, his attitude, and his intention. It gave him momentum as he moved into the world and out the door. And so as we consider that subtle difference between habits and rituals, we can see how the spiritual practices move habits into rituals. They are transformed because they want to transform us. They want to alter our attitudes and our responses. But they do so without becoming legalistic, without becoming laws. Richard Foster was really impressed upon this, and he said, as we travel on this path, the blessing of God will come upon us and reconstruct us into the image of Jesus Christ. We must remember that the path does not produce the change. It only places us where the change can occur. This is the path of disciplined grace. Therefore, as we live into those buckets with spiritual practices and intersect that living water, it's not the practice itself that is changing us, but the intersection with the holy. During Jesus' time on earth, washing a visitor's feet was a sign of hospitality. Sometimes there was a simple basin left at the door, and you could rinse your feet all by yourself. Take care of what you needed. In richer households, there would be a slave waiting for you to wash your feet. But in all of these experiences, none of them were religious. This was not a forced practice to be observed. And hence, Peter was confused. In our scripture today, we hear that Peter is confused because this simple practice of washing feet didn't make sense in the context of having Jesus take on this role. The rabbi, the teacher, the master moved this practice out of sorts. And it's here that we remember that practices used to transform cannot be bound in law. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, we follow the spirit of love, not law. You can't legislate love, nor can you expect that one mode of connecting with God be the only way to do it, and that a fruitful way of intersecting the holy will be the same always and forever. When I was little, I would run down the aisle for communion, grab a chunk of bread and maybe two cups of juice, you know, more and more of Jesus, as much as you can. But now that I've grown and matured and realized the importance of that ritual, I actually pause and I sit and I pray with confession on my heart before I receive that gift of grace. The ritual is still there, but it has changed how I experience God. And that may be true for you. The devotion book that you used when you were 12 might not be the same that you use when you're 22 or 52. Thus, we have spiritual practices, multiple modes. And Richard Foster describes three different kinds of practices: the inward, the outward, and the corporate. Inward practices, those exercises and activities done with introspection at the heart, would include meditation, fasting, study. Outward practices would include simplicity, solitude, and service. And corporate disciplines or practices include confession, worship, and celebration. Now today, during the 9 o'clock service and even during our children's time, we lived into a communal corporate practice through blessing of the animals. We intentionally prayed over and celebrated our pets and God's creatures in a way that recentered us and our attitudes. This practice, this blessing of the animals, can help us remember our stewardship and the care that we are to offer to all living beings. It can remind us of our interdependence with other living beings, and in fact, even the gift, the therapeutic gift, really, that we might receive from our pets. We can also recognize God's character expressed in these dear creatures. Imagine God with unbounded joy, like your puppy who greets you at the door, right? Or imagine God's character of humor as seen in the form of giraffes or platypuses. Right? You can't think of those animals without having a little grin and recognizing God in the midst of that. Admittedly, I've been thinking about spiritual practices for a long time. It's as if I've created an elevator speech, and I just can't wait to tell you all about them. I can't think of a better way to spend a year but to really dive in to this intersection with the holy. But the truth is, I need it. Truly, I do. I need the intentional wisdom brought forth in practice. I need a community to hold me accountable and to inspire me with the ways in which God will speak through you and transform you. I need a valuable and effective way to ground myself in the midst of uncertainty, anxiety, helplessness, and grief. Selfishly, I need this time. I need this routine turned into ritual, done with you all. And so you might be asking, why are we actually focusing on this? Why spiritual practices? Why for so long? Well, I want to offer you a couple of reasons, a couple of ways in which I understand spiritual practices, and perhaps they will resonate with a yearning that you have in your heart. I believe that spiritual practice is a genuine expression of doing and being the body of Christ, being the church. Spiritual practices create partnership of community and accountability for the hard and scary, vulnerable growth that we do with each other and within our souls. Spiritual practice is a mode of gentle power that holds so much more hope, nourishment, and conviction than loud external pressures or pleas of response. Spiritual practices develop our spiritual depth and our maturity. Spiritual practices give a way to intersect faith and beliefs with action and witness on a daily basis in our daily lives and with the people that are around us. And like Jesus, I suspect that you want to love what has been entrusted to you, loving it to the very end. So spiritual practices can give you an avenue to do this, this bold love, with intentionality and faithfully. Jesus loved his disciples to the end, to the tips of their toes, really. He modeled a practice that could be replicated, and in so doing, he extended the purpose of that practice, that purpose of love. I pray that this year we not only discover new ways of seeing and receiving God's grace through spiritual practices, but that as we do, the Holy Spirit takes us in our practice and changes us into something more holy as we are one with ourselves, with creation, and with God. We will be on the path, and we will be met there. As we dive into that living water, I pray that we find that intersection of the holy through spiritual practices and experience God's grace to bring about power of ministry and love for the world. May you experience that today and all your days. Amen. I'll invite you now to sing together. Will you stand as we do our closing song? Brothers and sisters in Christ, as you go out into your world this week with your habits, with your routines, with your rituals, know that you can intersect the holy, allowing God to transform you and fill you with grace so that you might also be the grace and love that others intersect the holy. Go in God's peace this day and evermore. Amen.